now at 623-242-CAST. That's 623-242-2278. Now, shut up, sit down, and listen to the damn show.
Hey, everybody. It's the GapCast. Welcome to the show tonight. I'm Eddie Dean. We've got B-Dub and Jazzmunda. What's up, cats? Cool cats.
Hey there. How are you?
We're doing great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, don't you know?
I forgot this is the Fargo GapCast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not good with accents. I already have one.
Oh, aren't you a pip?
Gory, Jazzmunda, you don't even want to try, eh? God, that's just...
You all sound the same to me.
It's like a buzzsaw in your head when you hear that. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
Hey, hold on a second. I was binge-watching Fargo over the weekend, you know, the miniseries?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's this fucking accent's been stuck in my head for, like, days, you know? So hold on a second. I'm going to look at some hardcore porn and, like, reset my brain. Hold on a second.
Oh, Gar, I don't think you can do that on the air, though.
Oh, I don't know.
You might want to use that true coat.
Oh, I think the Lutherans get pretty angry when you do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, wait. Hold on. It's loading. It's loading. Oh, there it is. Okay, I'm better now.
Oh, thank God we're past that.
Oh, goodness. I thought I'd never get over that.
Don't you hate that when you get that kind of accent or impression stuck in your head and you're just walking around speaking like that in your head and then, everywhere you go, you're just talking like that.
That's why you shouldn't watch an entire season of Fargo in a day.
You know, what I was doing is I watched Rocky Balboa, you know, the first one, so I have this Rocky impression in my head.
So did you watch, like, all 90 movies or what?
Yeah, you know, I watched Rocky 1 and then Rocky 2, and I think I watched Rocky 3, Rocky 4, and then I watched Rocky 5. And then I think I watched Rocky Balboa, the first story, or something like that.
See, now we have another accent stuck in our heads.
Oh, yeah?
Thanks, Eddie.
Sure thing, Rock. You're a champ!
You're a champ, Rocky.
He's a bum. You'll get that Rocky impression down just right.
You gotta sound like Krusty the Clown.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
You're going to have to reset your brain with some hardcore porn, some internet porn. Oh, my God.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. We're off to a wonderful start tonight. If you guys would like to be part of the show, the number is 623-242-2278. Again, that's 623-242-CAST. You can also get a hold of us through Skype, and you can type in the.gabcast.
What was that again there, Eddie?
The dot GabCast.
Oh, that's a good number.
I can
remember that.
If you're a Skype user.
Yo,
if you're on the Skype, you can use... Oh, God, I'm doing it again. Fuck.
You really need to stop that, you know.
So you be Stallone, I'll be some dude from Fargo, and Jazzmunda will be some...
Random Australian.
Random Australian, dude. And it'll just be pure podcast gold.
Is there a difference in inflection in your accent from the East Coast to the West Coast in Australia, Jazz? Or is it basically all the same?
No, there are some differences, different states. Not much difference. And also, I think there's a bit of a difference depending on your education level as well in how you talk.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's not a huge difference. There's bigger difference with the different American accents, as you guys have displayed.
Yeah.
And it's funny because sometimes whenever I hear someone who is an intellectual who's from the South, in the US or from where, you know, the area where Fargo is, I find it hard to take them seriously when you hear that accent.
So what would be an example of like an intellectual from the South? Would that be Foghorn Leghorn?
Well, I say, I read books.
Listen here, boy.
That character was based on a actual senator from South Carolina. His name was Claghorn. I think he actually talked like that.
Wow.
My pizza's here. Hold on, guys.
Yeah, before the show, B-Dub was all pissed off because he ordered a pizza a while ago, and the pizza still wasn't there. So he warned us that he'd have to probably step away from the mic to go get the pizza. Go answer the door and get the pizza and punch the guy squarely in the face because he's taken so long.
And we're going to have a competition. Who can guess what pizza B-Dub ordered? What do you think, Eddie D?
I think he got a Meat Lovers pizza.
Yeah, I was going to go for Meat Lovers, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's pineapple on that pizza.
That's just wrong.
Do you guys have that pizza? We call it the Hawaiian pizza. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's what we call it here, too.
It's usually ham, and pineapple.
Yeah, that's what we have here. I never understood that. I guess I don't have a very sophisticated palate to take, you know, the sweetness and then the sourness and then the succulent from the ham. And yeah, that's not me. So, any listeners out there, what do you think about pizza? Now, we really shouldn't open up that phone line, should we? For pizza lovers?
Yeah, why not? Come on.
Or if you have a guess on which pizza B-Dub is going to eat tonight, you can type that into the chat room at ufoship.com.
We don't have any prizes to give away except maybe a cold piece of pizza if B-Dub wants to leave.
Y'all ain't getting none of my pizza now.
You know,
I had to wait for like a whole week for this pizza.
How long did you have to wait to get that pizza, B-Dub?
Well, I don't want to say, but it could have been like a long time, like an hour or two, like really bad.
So it was 2 hours? Seriously? The pizza's got to be cold.
Well,
riveting radio, by the way.
Yeah, actually, I'm full of shit. It was maybe 40 minutes ago.
I remember Domino's here had a, they used to run a commercial where you either get your pizza within 30 minutes or it's free. So we used to order it, set the watch, you know.
Yeah, we had that too here.
Yeah.
But I think they stopped doing it because the drivers were getting into car accidents, you know, speeding to try to beat the 30-minute deadline. Well, okay, so as far as Belgab and everything that goes on there, you guys want to talk about the Richard C. Hoagland show or you want to talk about the Mad Markham show on Friday?
Which Richard C. Hoagland's show would we talk about?
Well, just talk about, I guess, all of them in general. I didn't set that up very well.
Have you guys been listening at all to Richard's show since it started?
I listened to a little bit of it last night.
I haven't listened much live. I think maybe I listened to two or three shows the first maybe 20 minutes or so. And I listened to maybe three shows on the podcast download. And I've got to say, it's much more entertaining than I first thought it was going to be. You know, I thought it was just going to be, when I heard that he was going to be doing a show, I thought it was just going to be Richard talking about, you know, his theories and the face on Mars and, you know, the glass domes on the moon. And I thought that was going to be basically the entire show.
But, that awkward moment when the guest realizes the host is crazier than he is.
So, yeah, Eddie, I agree with you. I that's exactly what I thought the show would be. I was like, what's Richard going to talk about? He's just going to talk about his agenda. And say what you will about Richard C. Hoagland, you know, say what you will about his theories, his conspiracy theories. I can't tell you how many times I've been squinting at images, you know, squinting like Folky squints at his computer monitor, trying to see, you know, these glass domes, and I've never seen it. But say what you will about all that, Richard's been a part of the Coast to Coast family, and when I talk about Coast to Coast, I talk about the Art Bell days, you know, for a long time. So, you know, say what you will about all that, but I think he's done quite a good job. Considering that, and I now know why George Norrie didn't want Richard to host because it would have shown him up totally. I mean, it would have shown the suits at Premier that some novice with absolutely no experience is a better interviewer than their current host.
You really think that's it?
No, probably not. But but I think it's he's done a pretty good job. I listened to two shows in particular where he interviewed some Z-list celebrities. And I say Z-list celebrities not in a derogatory term, but he interviewed Tim Russ, who was Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager. And
oh, wait, which one was Tuvok? Was he?
He was the Vulcan. Oh, okay. Yeah, the security officer.
Okay.
And then there was Dean Haglund, who was one of the lone gunmen on The X-Files.
I remember seeing that show, the announcement. I didn't actually listen to the show, but...
I found them to be riveting interviews because, one, Richard was interviewing guys who were on shows that he actually had an interest in and knew about. So it always helps when the interviewer knows what he's talking about, you know, and knows the source material. And I found the guys who he was interviewing had fascinating insights into the shows that I had watched for years. So I really enjoyed those two episodes.
Can't you lie to me?
No, I can't.
George Norrie soundboard is a little bit jealous now, it sounds like. You know, I listened to one of the shows that I remember. It was August 11th, and it was the Open Line show. And the reason that I listened to that one on the way back from Prescott a couple weeks ago, and the reason was is because I wanted to hear Astro Guy. At least I thought so. They were talking about in his thread that possibly Astro was going to call, or that he did call, and somebody told me that that was a show. So I listened to that one. I didn't hear Astro call in at all. And if any of you guys know which show date it was that Astro Guy called in, type it in the chat room or give us a call and let us know which one that is, because I'd really love to listen to that. Because Astro has been outwardly critical for many, many years of Richard C. Hoagland and his theories and the science that he purports to do. The science and the data behind it.
And the data.
But I got to tell you that the show that I listened to, it was an Open Line show, and I was thoroughly entertained. I mean, I think the first caller he was trying to lock Richard down into saying that he was... he asked Richard about his...
his hair?
That'd be an easy explanation.
So how much hairspray do you use, Richard?
He asked him about the TV shows that he's been on. And he was trying to lock... I can't remember exactly what it was. He was trying to lock him into a certain story or a certain answer. And Richard was, like, defensive right off the bat. And I wasn't really sure what it was about. But, I mean, it was really entertaining because Richard's like, well, you know, do you realize how many... TV interviews that I've been on. I can't just name one. And I mean, he stretched it out for like 15 minutes talking to this guy, and it was really, really pretty entertaining.
So listening to RCH being trolled.
Basically. Yeah. And I don't That's know if funny. This guy was trolling or if he was serious, and I don't even know if this guy is the stalker, I guess, that Richard
it was
C.
you, Eddie.
Tends to have.
It was you.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
You just love to talk about yourself and the way you call shows and harass people. You're just horrible.
That's me.
Well, mm-hmm. In Richard, a nutshell,
his show has seemed to have created its own meme. I guess that's the word.
Braps.
The Braps, yeah. Do you guys know the origin of the Braps? Because I was sort of away for the first
I do now.
Weeks. Yeah.
I have an idea what it is, but I'm not exactly sure.
I just assumed that it was Richard C. Hoagland, maybe because he had too much bran in his diet or something, was passing some gas on the air, and perhaps was an attempt to simulate the sound of the rapid exodus of methane from his hindquarters.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say keister.
That too. But that's actually what it is. Yeah, he had a squeaky chair.
Yeah. Was it a squeaky chair or was it the, you know how sometimes if you sit down on a couch, a leather couch, you can, it sort of might simulate the fart sound.
I'm pretty sure it's a squeaky chair.
Okay.
Let's ask the chat room there. Where is the origin of the Braps meme?
So, you know, or if oh, chat room. There are guys in the chat room who are, you know, posters in the live thread. If one of you guys want to call in and sort of give us the origin of Braps and all the other little stuff-ups that have happened, because I believe it was quite endearing the first few shows that Richard did, you know, the fumbling with Skype and having troubles with the board and all that. And
I'm just looking at the chat room. I don't even think they're listening.
No, they
don't. I mean, I'm looking at this, and it's completely unrelated to, like, what we're doing. They're just like, we're just in the background talking about stuff.
That's right.
So if anyone wants to call in and sort of give us sort of an update, a timeline, if you will, of what went down with Richard's show in the first few weeks, how Braps started and all that.
See, I thought that it was the Braps was a callback to the telephone that he had that kept ringing in the first week or so, you know, because he'd go on the air and then there's this this old school telephone with an old school ringer, you know, that would interrupt the show. And that happened more than once. And maybe it's just kind of a universal thing.
That still happens at the beginning of every show, apparently. And I don't know if that's intentional, unintentional. I believe in the beginning the phone would just ring off the hook and, you know, he'd get so frustrated that he would just muffle it with a pillow. I don't know if he has control over the actual ring of the phone, whether he can turn that off. So,
Mr. Hoagland, with all your science expertise, I feel I should tell you can unplug your phone, sir. Yeah.
So I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Just pull it right out of the wall socket, sir, and please, it will stop doing that.
Please, someone call into us, 623-242-2278, and let us know what the story is.
Jasmunda, ask and ye shall receive. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Star Mountain. I was setting up my headset before you even asked to call in. I can't answer for the Braps, but what I wanted to do was find out if we could get Bateman, or I should say Mary Ann, to be one of the callers when the phone rings at the beginning of the show.
So can you tell me, this phone ring at the beginning of the show, I've listened to a few shows lately, and, you know, someone calls in right from the get-go and he says, oh, should I answer this? Should I not answer it? He picks it up, right, and that someone says something funny. They order a pizza or something like that.
Or a hoagie sandwich.
A hoagie sandwich, something like that. And what's the story there? Do you think that's set up? Does he know who's calling, or is it someone totally random?
No, I don't think it's set up with Richard, but I think it's somebody who's just kind of pranking him in a good-spirited way. I don't think it doesn't sound mean-spirited, because he's taking it with sense of humor. But what I would like to hear is someone to call in and ask him why he never talks about Uranus. For example.
That's a good one. Is there a phone number we can call to try and get on in that first few minutes?
I'm sure he's got a call-in number, because he has open line now. Yeah. Open lines now.
So do all his open lines come in on a physical phone that he's got next to him that actually rings audibly?
I think so. It sounds like in the back room there's some... a telephone ringer, a ringtone going on.
So Star Mountain, so what you're saying is he kind of incorporated that into the show where the phone rings.
No.
The phone ringing at the beginning of the show.
I don't know. It started off where the phone would ring and he'd ignore it, and then he started answering it. I don't know if he set that up or not.
So when he answers it, do you hear the other side of the conversation, or you just hear Richard talking into the phone?
I think you can. Not very audible. It's not really audible. At least I haven't heard it that well. but I'm sure he'll do it tonight.
But I heard a guy order ask for a pizza or a hoagie sandwich the other day, so you definitely can't hear it.
You can hear it. It's just, at least not on my system. I can hear it, but not very well.
Okay.
But here's an example. I was going to have someone call in. Richard, you're always talking about the moon and Mars, now Pluto, but little, if anything, about other planets. We would love to hear you talk about Uranus. We'd love to see photos of Uranus on your website. No? Okay, well.
No, I like it.
I thought that out there. But either Marianne or a dude would sound better doing it.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was a mistake at first, and then maybe he's just kind of playing off it when it happens.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that's probably his home phone number or something, too. I'm sure that number isn't listed as the call-in number to the show.
Oh, never thought of that.
That's what I'm guessing anyway.
Oh.
Because it wouldn't really make a lot of sense if, well, you are saying that you can't hear the other side of the conversation, but.
Yes, I can, but not as well. It sounds like Jasmunda has a better system. He can hear it better, and it can be heard. I just can't understand very well what they're saying at the other end.
Well, I was listening to it this morning, and phone rang. RCH asked the audience, should I answer it?
Yeah.
Picks it up, and then some guy's like, oh, can I get a hoagie?
Yeah,
and then he said something about, oh, those crazy people at Bell Gab, they're always playing pranks on me.
Yeah.
So does Richard post in that thread? I don't think he does, he?
No, I don't think he does either.
I've never seen him. I think he started it, but I don't think he's posted in
it. That's funny. I can see him starting that thread and then being like, oh, God, what have I done?
There's a couple of shows that I've listened to, you know, people who would call in would reference Bell Gab and reference his thread saying, you know, hey, Richard, you really ought to come over and read Bell Gab because you got a lot of people, you know, a lot of your fans posting about your show, you know, during the show.
Oh, Richard, see, there was this one fella, that he was saying all kinds of things. He was being kind of critical and it wasn't very nice. I thought you should know because you might want to go and, I don't know, maybe like slap him around or something, eh?
Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm going to hop off and let somebody who knows about the origin of the Grabs call in and explain it to us.
All right. Thanks, Star.
Braps
Have
man.
A good night.
Yeah, we need to know. Yeah.
We need hard data. We don't need someone who was with firsthand experience that was there when Braps was born.
Well, is Saucy Rossi in the chat room?
No, I don't see him. But that's an interesting thing, talking about Saucy Rossi. Does anyone know how he got the gig with Richard? I went away and all of a sudden I come back and he's some big producer.
Well, you know, I don't want to say anything untoward, but it might have involved Uranus.
Okay. And speaking of producers, it seems like everyone on Bell Gab is getting producer gigs. Do we need to look for a producer on Bell Gab?
Yes.
Well, first you gotta join the union.
Oh, back to that union thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And the first job of our producer is to go find some Z-grade celebrities and get their greatest poop story.
Money. Find us some money. I'm not falling for that Tank Hill crap again. That still gets my dander up, if you know what I mean.
So we're done with that now then?
Maybe.
We never answered the question, B-Dub. What pizza did you get?
I got the deluxe.
And what's on the deluxe?
Pepperoni, mushrooms, sausage, or as my friend Murray would say, sausage. Green peppers, onions, and that would be it.
Well, great. So if we stay on the air for another hour or so, we might have a new poop story. Thank you. And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Jazz, we needed that. You know,
yes, we did.
The start of the Richard C. Hoagland thread, it seemed like everybody was kind of making fun of him, kind of against him, you know, not very positive comments. And then after a while, it seems like everybody loves it. You know, maybe not everybody, but the majority of the people posting in there are having a ball. And Richard's charm has turned them around, it seems.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. Like, you know, I never thought that I would listen to Richard C. Hoagland do a show on his own. I took out a subscription before the show even started, primarily just to help out Art and the network, but I was never sort of planning on listening. It's on at a weird time for me between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. and that sort of, you know, time when I'm home with the kids and stuff. But, yeah, I've found that I've listened here and there and I'm enjoying it. I think he's entertaining and, yeah, good on him.
Good on you, Richard.
Good on you.
The Madman Markham show was Friday. And, you know, I have to admit that I didn't really know all that much about Madman, you know, because I didn't listen to Art live back in the 90s. So I wanted to ask Jazz specifically and the listeners who have listened to Art for many, many years and were around to listen to those live shows back in the 90s when Madman was on. Why is he so popular? Why is Madman? Why is this the story? Is it because he's just a regular guy and purportedly he's done something extraordinary, if you believe the story?
Yeah, I guess it was one of those things that just, you know, grew a life of its own. He seemed very down to earth, you know. And I'm talking about the original story, you know. It's that same thing, you know, not selling anything, just had this crazy sort of story. And I think it wasn't too wild at the time, you know, when his original story, because he didn't actually time travel. I think the story is he just threw the real weird part of the story was when he, you know, threw a nut or a bolt through his Jacob's ladder setup and it disappeared and then reappeared a bit further down the room. So there wasn't any crazy weird story like the Mel's Hole story.
Right.
And I just think it sort of grew from there. And because he was only on one or two times, it sort of, the legend sort of grew itself over the years.
And I think probably having to steal those Transformers and then get, you know, get charged with a felony and thrown in jail for a couple months, that helped quite a bit as well.
Yeah, there was credibility to his story in the, you know, that there was an arrest history.
There was an actual record that he is, in fact, crazy enough to try this shit.
Right. Yes.
So now, I think personally there's a, I don't know if any of you guys are NASCAR fans, I think there's a touch of NASCAR here. And what I mean by that is NASCAR is at its best when someone's being hurt horribly. And,
well, all sport in general is.
Well, you know, the saying is like people watch NASCAR so they for the crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like what was going on with him, because you're pretty sure this guy's going to kill himself and he's going to die horribly. You just want to get the details before it happens.
I have a question about the timeline too. Now, when he threw that bolt through the Jacob's ladder or through the machine, was that before or after he was arrested for stealing the Transformers? The second version of his time machine?
I think when he first did it 20 years ago or whatever, that's when he had the bolt and it just went a short distance. And then apparently he tried doing it again, apparently in the Cincinnati area and in a warehouse with a lot more power. And it was actually transferring objects like outside the building, according to him.
Hmm. Yeah, this was in the story. That was the story the other night. Where he talked about putting hamsters and
guinea pigs.
And guinea pigs, yeah.
That was a surprise to me because I thought that Madman Markham was based in Texas for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because when Fearless called in, yeah. I think he said that's where he was, or he, I think he made a reference to that, or I just...
And I want to talk about that for a moment. We had this guy, Fearless, who called in a number of times and claimed to be in contact with Madman Markham, claimed that his mother, their mothers were friends, and didn't he even say that he knocked on his door and spoke to him?
Yeah.
He also claimed that Madman doesn't have the internet and doesn't use the internet or anything like that, but Madman clearly said that he does, and I've since found out he actually has a Facebook page. So that doesn't sound like the same guy who's a hermit and recluse. They don't tend to be on Facebook all that often playing Candy Crush.
Well, I think that Fearless might have been talking to him years ago.
No, well, when he was talking to us, he told us he knocked on his door recently to try. Remember, he was trying to get him to come on our show.
Right. But I mean, maybe that whole. Well, I know that he did say that Markham didn't have a computer. He didn't believe he had a computer, but maybe he was referencing, you know, several years ago.
So let's take a vote. was Fearless just talking smack, or was he in fact being trying to be helpful?
I don't know. I hope he was trying to be helpful.
Yeah, I think he was.
I'm not.
I don't think there's any reason for me to believe that he was trying to troll us.
If he lives in Texas and Madman lives in Cincinnati, he's not going to go over and knock on his door just casually.
Well, you also have to consider that you're going through the filter of Eddie Dean's brain, and that's not exactly
maybe we need to clear out some cobwebs there, eh?
Yeah, definitely. My brain's like a box of rocks sometimes.
Hey.
Yo.
All right, well, just killed the show.
Yes, you did. I mean, what did you guys think of the news story, the updated Madman Markham story?
I felt myself saying, wow, if this was only true. I mean, I don't believe it, but I felt like it was much easier for me to suspend disbelief while listening to the show.
Well,
and that made it a hell of a lot more entertaining instead of being like a critical, you know, skeptic.
I was a little disappointed this guy was still trying to do the same crazy shit, but I also noticed that his voice had dropped like quite a bit. I'm wondering if he's a smoker, but I don't believe Markham's claims. I don't think any amount of electric current, any magnetic field is going to distort space-time because gravity and magnetism are completely and totally unrelated.
Well, I think that he built the machine. I just don't believe that he actually traveled through time. I don't think he jumped through it.
Or space.
Right. Because his claim was he lost 2 years and he was 800 miles away from his original position after, you know, when he jumped through the machine.
But he lost 30 pounds of fat and gained 10 pounds of lean muscle. Who doesn't want that?
So it's a weight loss system.
I was happy that...
it's a temporal weight loss system.
I was happy that Art read out my wormhole message to him. I asked if he was disappointed that he missed Millennium New Year's on his journey.
I don't remember that.
But what I really also wanted to ask is, was he disappointed that he missed 2 years of Art Bell shows?
Well,
if he needs a link to the Megatorrent to catch up.
Well, there was a caller that called in towards the latter part of the show and said, Art, is there a place that we could that you could put together all your old JC calls so I can listen to them? You know, totally unrelated. And Art went, well, no. Click. Okay, so picture this. Let's say that you built a time machine and you were planning to jump through it, and you had 25 or 30 of your friends standing around this warehouse witnessing this epic moment. And you had a video camcorder. Yeah, go ahead.
Just stop there. Did he say when he went through that there were people in the room with him when he jumped through?
That was my understanding, that there were 20, 30 or 25 to 30 witnesses. Now, okay. I don't know if that was when he was doing the testing or when he actually jumped through it. But my understanding was is there were many witnesses on this epic day. Now, okay, so you're watching somebody jump through this field of electricity, 3 million volts, I guess,
yes.
Right? And he disappears. So you what are you going to do? You're not going to call the police. You're not going to talk to his parents. You're not going to... I mean, it doesn't... Just from that reasoning alone...
I know.
It doesn't make any sense. Why?
Can you imagine the scene there that happens? He walks through. He appears to be vaporized. People are just standing around going, okay, so...
We'll see you next all week. That much anyway.
Like, what happened?
You guys hungry? You guys want to go to... Denny's.
I think Denny's is still open.
Yeah, really.
Well, that was the end of that show. Let's go eat.
I mean, what happened? No one went to tell the cops. No, everyone said, "Oh shit, I'm getting out of here." You know, I was never here.
Well, I can understand that aspect. They don't want to get themselves in trouble. I mean, quite frankly, the two guys that helped Madman Markham carry those six transformers that he stole from the electric company got busted along with Markham by his story. I mean, and his parents didn't seem to care. I mean, he wasn't on a missing persons. You know what? I'd like to see a journalist or a reporter, investigative reporter, try to
David
find.
Politis.
There you go. Try to find.
Tied in the last night show. All these people who are disappearing in the parks are jumping into 3 million volt fields that are generated by stolen electrical equipment. Yeah. There's not much about his story that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, can you imagine if you were missing for 2 years, what your family would, and then you just returned all of a sudden? The way he told it, it didn't sound like it was a big deal or not.
Yeah. He's just like, hey, son, what you been up to?
Yeah. I was done traveling in time, long story short.
Well, we and... your mother here, we just thought maybe you went and joined ISIS or something.
Well, basically, I didn't, but, you know, I was gone.
Oh, that's okay. Well, dinner's almost ready.
You know what? I was really entertained when I listened to that show. And kudos to Art and to Redacted for finding him and getting him on the show. And I'd like to know about how that went down.
Yeah.
How she found him, and if she used Fearless to try to get a hold of Madman Markham, and you know how that whole thing happened.
Her methods cannot be disclosed. Mm. They are proprietary methodologies that are developed by radio producers and the radio producer
union.
Thank you. And they're sworn to secrecy. It's kind of like being a magician, except when magicians explain their tricks, some guy named Murray doesn't come and break their kneecaps. Mm.
So she could be in danger if she spilled that information.
Well,
so we
okay.
You know what I mean?
We briefly sort of mentioned the David Paulides show of last night. So is that how you say his last name? Paulides? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. David Paulides.
Paulides. What did you think of that show?
I don't understand what his theory... Does he give an explanation or what his theory is to how
he
these people... Wait, hold on a second.
No.
Let me finish.
No,
does he give an explanation to how he believes these people are disappearing?
No. His theory, his reasoning is that he doesn't want to give a theory... that might sound crazy, or you know, whether it's Bigfoot or portals or whatever, because he's an investigative reporter, and if he sounds like a crackpot, he's not going to be able to interview any of these families of victims or victim or anything like that, or because he'll look like it, he'll tarnish his reputation.
Yeah, well, and I also kind of got the impression that there was a group of people out there who would actively assassinate his character. And if you were to make a prediction or give a theory, then that would just be like ammunition for them to come swoop in and make him look like a complete fraud.
And also the going down the Ed Dames route of things, if he makes an, not a prediction, but if he puts out a theory, oh, it is so-and-so, but then it's found to be something else, then, again, he loses all credibility.
Right.
You know, if he gets the, gets it wrong, I would, that's I assume.
And I assume that he has written several books, right? Not just one or two, but several on this missing 411.
Yes, I believe.
He's like fifth,
yeah.
Is that the only topic that he researches? Or does he have more mainstream type of stories that he does?
He used to be a Bigfoot guy. And then he got on this missing persons kick.
And he's worried about losing credibility now?
Yeah. So, and now he's branching out into urban cases where people went missing in an urban environment. And it's kind of reminded me of the circumstances around the Smiley Face Killers. If you remember that show with Ian Punnett.
No, I don't remember that.
I don't. Well, I saw someone reference it, but...
Yeah, someone was floating this idea that there were all these young men, like college-age men, who would be found, like, drowned in, like, an inch of water. And people would just say, well, it was suicide, he jumped from the bridge. But then, for some reason, there's always, like, a smiley face nearby.
Hmm.
And people... Someone, you know, there's a theory that's a... Serial killer or a group of serial killers. I mean, it seemed like he was kind of going in that direction, but I mean, he didn't call it that specifically.
You know, what I thought was really interesting last night is when David said that when he contacted the Forest Service to try to get a list of the people who have indeed gone missing in the national parks, the Forest Service flatly refused, and then they denied that they actually had a list, and then they said that the list would cost $38,000 for one park, or you know, $1.3 million for nationwide missing people in the parks. Why? I don't understand why that is. Well, is that like a PR thing from the parks where they don't want the visitors to know there's people missing? Or
Here's the answer that he gave was that. He said that basically their explanation for the pricing for why that's so expensive is because they'd have to pay someone to go out, collate all that data, and then put together a report. And that would just basically just cover the cost of a project like that.
Okay.
Which, shouldn't it be all digital and in a database now that you just have to search?
You're talking
people.
About the United States government.
Yes, and sorry.
You're talking about the Forest Service because they're not... They don't have their act together.
They don't have a computer.
They might, but it would be like a Windows 3 machine.
Oh, 286 with a meg of memory.
and a little old lady with glasses on the end of her nose operating at one, typing one finger at a time, one letter at a time.
So then did David say that he went and did the research himself or paid somebody to do it and kind of circumnavigated that whole bureaucracy to try to get the numbers that he did? Or is he, I guess I remember him saying that it's kind of just a educated guess from his point of view.
I think that he effectively kind of said that his organization kind of put together their own report or whatever.
Yeah, I would imagine that, as well, I don't think the Parks Department would like to release the, if there is a huge number of people that go missing, I mean, you wouldn't want that sort
of... isn't a huge number. It's a small minority.
Is bad publicity in that respect.
I think Art made that point last night, too. He was trying to get David to give him an idea of the percentage of people who go missing, you know, in any other area of the country as opposed to the people that go missing in national parks, and if that percentage is higher or lower, or if it's basically the national average, you know, just an average number.
Well, I don't think he answered that question, and he probably didn't answer it because it's probably just a blip on the radar in the scheme of things.
He seemed like a cold fish, and he seemed like he was actually kind of pissed off at Art for.
Really?
Art was trying to pin him down a little bit. He was trying to get him to commit to something, it seemed like. And Politis just would not, didn't want to be cornered.
Well, he's probably not used to sort of hardball questioning. He's probably used to just the George Norrie softball question with no follow-ups.
Whatever.
Yeah, thanks, George.
Yeah, so anyway, that's kind of the feeling I got from Politis. Just, I don't know, maybe I'm alone in that.
No, Art was challenging him, and he did seem somewhat defensive, because I'm sure that he doesn't get challenged too often, especially on Coast to Coast, like Jazz said. But, I mean, what's the significance? Are there more dangers when you go into a national park than there are if you walk downtown? You know, if you're in a populated area as opposed to a not populated area? I mean, of course, yeah, a grizzly bear isn't gonna eat you when you're downtown in Phoenix, Arizona, but that there, you have a chance if you're out, in the forest anywhere.
Well, it's very easy to get lost as well. I don't know if you've ever walked into the woods sort of and gone off the track, but it's quite easy for people who aren't experienced to go missing.
Right.
And I imagine that that occurs every now and again.
I'm sure that's probably a big percentage of the people who go missing. Although some of the stories that he conveyed last night, particularly the tour group that was going down the Colorado, and they stopped at this little stream and they, hiked for a short distance to get to a waterfall. And when they turned around to come back, one of the people, the last in line, just ended up disappearing. And they went back and they couldn't find the guy. And, he's been gone for several months.
Yeah, well, they should have listened to the song. Don't go chasing waterfalls. Should have listened, but they didn't.
I found that to be quite creepy, that whole last in line is a goner.
Yeah. Aldous says cougar attack. Oh, Aldous says that I had a cougar attack in downtown Phoenix.
Good time.
Nice one. Nice one. You got to watch out for them cougars. If any cougars out there would like to attack me, Eddie Dean, please call
623-242-2278. Did anyone laugh out loud when they heard Politis say, "Oh, that's when I knew I hit the glory hole"?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that part.
I laughed loud enough to wake up everyone in this entire neighborhood.
I think it just went straight past Art's. It just went straight past Art.
The origin for that saying is apparently from like the Yukon Gold Rush or something. And it's like if you had a glory hole, it meant it had a lot of gold in it or something. That's the thing. Times have changed.
Yeah.
So Mr. Politis might want to update your urban dictionary, sir.
His vernacular, yes.
No way.
Better get hip to the lingo, eh?
Yeah, I miss that. I think I missed the last hour of the show, so.
If only George Norrie had used the glory hole comment, we would have a lovely soundboard sound effect.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, so have we exhausted the Madman Markham? You know what? I had a question for you guys, too. You remember several weeks ago, Art posted a long missive from somebody called David, or Dave, who was claiming to be a time traveler. And he instructed Art that he would call in and tell the story sometime, and he would know... Art would know that it was the time traveler because he would mention a secret word or a secret phrase. Do you guys know if that has that happened?
The secret word?
Or is that a big flop? I mean, has that guy called in to share his story?
No, I remember reading the email or the thing that Art posted on artbell.com, but I haven't heard any follow-up.
You know, I think the members of Bellgab being vaguely lovable, I think they tore that email apart. And I believe the consensus was that it was just an attempt at attention, or it was bullshit?
Well, I think it was all of those things.
Can you think of any other words that it could be?
Horse apples. Yeah. So I didn't bother to read that. You know, when someone claims to be a time traveler, like, oh, sure, I've got other things to do, like brush the grommet or brush the grout clean in my shower with a toothbrush.
Yes. Very important job.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to take care of that and get it out of hand, and then you got to redo your whole shower.
Now you definitely do not want to get a black mold or any kind of a mold problem in that grout.
No, sir.
So do you use a toothbrush or, you know, what type of cleaning products do you use for that?
I actually use a jackhammer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that tend to, you know, mess up the, you know, scrape the tile?
Well, it's a very small jackhammer, the size of a toothbrush.
Oh, I see.
Well, I suggest if you're doing any type of cleaning whatsoever, do not either hire Falky or use whatever he's using to clean his apartment, because that'll just take you like 6 years.
Well, I've done some research, and I have finally figured out what Falky is using to clean his apartment.
What's that?
His imagination.
Hey, nice.
Aha!
Where's the clapping sound effect there?
Now, if you guys recall, you know, when Falky would come onto this program, the Gabcast, at least 2 years ago. Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Just threw up a little.
Oh, sorry. But, I mean, he was talking and complaining about cleaning then. I got to clean. I got lots of cleaning to do. And he was always, every single time that we talked to him on the show, he was always worried about cleaning.
I think I've said it on this show before, but I've got 3 kids who are the messiest fucking kids you can imagine. They just put shit down anywhere. But my house is spotless. You know, I don't know. One guy can make so much mess and be cleaning constantly. And his house is the size of a shoebox. Yeah. Like, how long does it take to clean?
Yeah, it's like a one-bedroom, 800-square-foot box.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's oh God, we're talking about Falky again.
Yeah, I know.
God, that's
damn
my
it
fault.
Things are going so bad on the Gabcast that we have to rely on that.
Can we please? I would much rather talk about poop than Falky. That's
isn't it one and the same, really?
No, poop is funny. Something funny about Falky. He's just a fucking loser.
So, okay, so we need to shame. Who was it that brought up Falky? We need to shame them immediately.
Who?
Me?
No, it was me, I think.
Okay,
no,
Jasmunda.
I think it might have been me.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Shame on you, Jasmunda.
Stupid foreigner.
Hang my head. It was funny because I had a little bit of a break from Falky. We'll get off him in a moment, because while I was away, I didn't read any of the Falky, and I sort of promised myself I'm going to get off Falky. I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off that brings me back. And then when I came back from vacation, I sort of hovered the mouse over that thread and, oh, do I click? Do I not click? I fucking clicked.
And you clicked.
And now that's it. No more Falky.
Good for you, sir. Well, I see Art has, he's been looking for a new witch to replace Evelyn Paglini. And he has somebody named Debbie Anderson on the show tonight. And she proclaims to be a witch. Is that correct?
Well, she does, but I won't be convinced until I hear that she has a voice that sounds like she smoked at least three packs a day.
Hi, Art. I do spells on people. Why does my witch impression sound like a man?
It sounds like
what if she's from Falcon? What if she's from Fargo?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
All right.
You suppose there are witches in Fargo?
I wouldn't see why not. They'd be in heavy coats, I would think, during the winter. Much more difficult to ride a broom, you know, in
colder
Fargo
than
in
a
January.
Witch's ass. Yes, sir.
Indeed, sir. Well, and I've done run out of topics, you guys. I wanted to talk about Richard C. Hoagland and the Thread and Mad Bad Markham. And that's all I have. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about tonight?
Well, have you been enjoying Art Bell's show? I think we talked about it last week, but how's it going? Do you see it? You see it going well?
Yeah.
Do you think, does Art sound enthused?
Art sounds grumpy at times. Maybe a little more than I remembered, but, you know, I don't know why that is. But I think it's going fine. I just kind of got burnt out with Art and kind of stopped listening for a couple weeks, quite honestly. And I think the Madman Markham show has kind of brought me back. And because I really enjoyed that show, and I listened to it again this morning, and even though I don't believe his story for the reasons that we talked about before, but I think Art's show is going great, and I think the guests have been really good, and I see them trying to move in new directions and also do, you know, kind of old topic shows as well. There seems to be a lot of time travel shows, and Art is certainly fascinated with that. I'd like to hear a couple more UFO shows.
Yeah, well, we had Pete and Davenport on, I think, since we've last spoken. That was a pretty good show. And what have you changed your opinion on the sound quality of Skype? Do you still dislike that aspect of the show, Eddie?
No, I think I'm getting used to it.
That was MV.
Well, I kind of agreed with MV yeah. too. It was kind of jarring, and it was difficult to differentiate.
This is caller that's so from weird Art. Coming from you, because you're the sound engineer who's always kicking our ass because, your mic's too hot. Turn your mic down. Turn this level up. But then when people call in on Skype, you're like, that sounds too good. Get on a cell phone.
Well, I never said I wasn't a hypocrite. I'm used to it, man. I think it's fine. You know, the thing that bugs me. Okay, so this will help you, B-Dub. The thing that bugs me is when a caller calls in and his audio is higher than Art's. Like he's blowing Art out, and that bugs the shit out of me.
Well, there's no way for Art to control that because
yeah, there is.
How long have we been? Why? I mean, every time we speak, every time we get on Skype together to do this show, you're just this. Put this up. I can't do that every time someone comes on the line with him.
Yeah, that's true. But he should have a separate channel on his mixing board that controls the international Skype audio and the Art Bell 51 Skype audio. You know, the calls from within the United States, and he should be able to adjust that volume overall. But, you know, the reason that it's difficult for us is because there's two people on one Skype, and I only have one fader to control both of you guys. And Art doesn't have that problem. He's got one caller, and he should be able to adjust that. Well, maybe that's more complex than I know, but...
Yeah, I think it's probably a situation where the user... for whatever reason, has their mic set up on their computer and their levels are super high or something wrong with their Skype configuration. And the signal it's sending to Art over via the interweb is just this digital clipping and all this like peaking noises. Yeah. And there's really nothing Art can do about that because what he's getting is crap.
Yeah, I agree. He doesn't have any control over that. If their connection is bad,
and I noticed their setup is bad. There were a couple times last night where people would call in and they didn't respond, and Art just dumped them because he was just like, "Yep, you're gone. Yeah. Next caller."
Yeah, the old going gone.
Yeah, so he's like, I think his the grace period is getting a little shorter, and I don't blame him because it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, like.
We can't spend 10 minutes going, hello.
Oh, yeah. No. He was doing that early on. The first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks that he was back, he would just, his patience, I think he did that on purpose to encourage people to use Skype.
Giving people the benefit of the doubt as well, too.
Yeah, but come on, man. That's not that hard. Like, when I called in, I just used my cell phone and used Skype on the cell phone, and it was, I didn't have to configure anything. It just worked. It's not rocket surgery.
In the chat room, Serenity says that Ponyboy Sunset got denied by our Skype. I don't know why that would happen. Ponyboy, are you calling the number, or are you trying to Skype in with the .gabcast? And we'll wait for your answer in the chat room.
So
I think we should do an NPR version of the Gabcast where we talk in hushed tones and sound like we're kind of bored too. So we'll wait for that information.
But why are you doing a southern voice? I don't understand.
It's my default southern voice, and I'm sorry, sir. But we need to speak in much more hushed tones in order to simulate NPR show.
Mr. Eddie Dean, you're stereotyping of the southern vocal stylings. I find very insulting and disrespectful of people of southern heritage.
Calm down, sir. I don't need people to go off.
I'm very excited right now.
To fly off the handle like you did, sir. I might have to disconnect.
I'm sorry if I got emotional, but I'm just very passionate about being respectful of all cultures.
I'm also sorry that I flew off the handle and yelled at you, sir or madam. But we do have a caller here. Hello, you're on the air.
Calm down, fine sirs.
What's up? It's Brig, everybody. Hi, Brig.
It is.
Hey, Brig.
A shout out to all the bell gabbers. I wanted to say I miss MV. Praise.
I miss
MV.
Him too.
Yeah,
praise
I do too.
MV. Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, sometimes when a man and a woman love each other very much, and they have a baby.
Yes,
tends to take your time away.
I'm listening, Mud King. I'm listening.
Oh, that's Jasmunda.
Jasmunda.
I think he's just busy with his little one. I would assume.
Well, I hope he knows. I hope he knows that we miss him. I miss him.
Have you tried to PM him and ask him where he's been?
I don't think I'm one of his favorite bell gabbers.
I don't think that's true at all.
He hates us all equally, Brayden.
He looks at all of us with the same amount of disdain. Contempt.
I just imagine that he gets blasted with PMs, and so I try not to do that. But I do miss him, and I hope he comes back soon. I hope he doesn't get too comfortable staying away and not come back.
I got to say, Brig, I think that you are MV's biggest fan. I mean, you're always typing on Bellgab, praise MV.
Do you know something? One day in the Bella Haven thread, I logged in, and I had made a comment, a post. I won't say what it was, but there was a comment from MV. It said, praise Brig. This was a screenshot moment for me, and I saved it.
Yeah, wow, definitely. You really are a big fan, aren't you, Brig?
I am. In fact, somebody tried to sway me to have praise for another individual, and we had some falling out because I had to maintain my loyalty to MV. I'm sure you guys can understand this.
Can you tell us who it was that
you had to praise instead of MV?
Well, I won't tell you who it was, but my dear friend is on the chat there that did want me to change my persuasion. So since he is there, and I'm not talking behind his back, I can tell you that White Crow, out of his deep respect for one of his friends, wanted me to switch from my loyalty to MV. And, of course, my heart is broken that White Crow is a bit upset with me, but I think he'll get over it.
Well, that's not very nice of him to ask you to do that. That does not sound like something a good friend would do to another friend.
Well, I can understand his loyalty to his friend. Do you Falky? Understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, no, Falky's my friend. You know, that's another...
I'm sorry.
That's another contention that we have in our group, is that so I'm a very big Falky fan.
White Crow's loyalty is to what, Jackstar?
No, he'll tell you that himself in the thread, if in the chat there, if he would like to, because he's there in the chat. But I don't want to reveal that information if White Crow's not ready yet to reveal it himself. We have many mysteries and adventures going on in the Bella Haven thread, and you guys used to come around, you know, and you're missing a lot of adventures.
Well, you know, Brig, I read it. I just don't post in it. And I also think, Brig, you should realize that White Crow is usually speaking in tongue-in-cheek, and just about everything that he says is usually sarcastic, or the reason that he says some of the things that he does is he's trying to get a rise out of people.
I see him typing there in... He said, Brig dropped me forever.
Is that in the chat room?
Yes, yeah. He's in the chat room. Oh, no, it says Brig dropped me. I think he meant to say Brig dropped me for MV.
Well, I think that's a good choice.
Oh, well, really? Well, I just hope. That White Crow can come to understand that although I praise MV, I love all my friends. That doesn't make my friends any less. And I honestly cannot change my loyalties. My loyalty is to MV. Belgab is his home, and he is the king, and that is who I praise on Belgab. I praise MV.
And so. You mentioned the Bella Haven thread. Is that still going, even with the demise of the show?
Well, you see, here's what happened, Jazz. Bella Haven started with a really wonderful idea. Nancy Burns and Rose Girl were going to have a wonderful show about mystical things. And I don't know if it was the time of night or what it was, but the show didn't last forever like everyone had thought. But in the meantime, some people had become very close friends, and other people had become interested in maybe starting their own podcasts or learning how to do that, all the technology involved. And so the thread kind of went on with those friends and even other people coming in, and It seems to be a place where people who are interested in learning about Skype and headsets and podcasts come together and have coffee in the morning and maybe make some comments about the shows they listened to the day before or the ones they're catching up on the next day and have coffee. And I don't think it will ever end because of the friends that came together over Nancy's and Rosie's show.
Right.
Does that make any sense to you?
Makes total sense.
Oh, yeah, thank it does. You. Thank you. I know people ask about it, and sometimes people come in and say, well, why isn't this show about this thread about the Bella Haven show? Well, it's about the people that supported the Bella Haven show, and it's about people that become friends with the people that supported the Bella Haven show. I don't know how when people become that close, become that good of friends, how they would separate just because the show ended.
Right. Might as well keep the thread going and... you know, keep those contacts with people if you enjoy speaking with him on Belgab and in that thread.
Well, that's why I started making my tiny little dumb Gabbing Now video, because I figured as long as I keep putting a little podcast in there once in a while, MV will allow us to keep our thread.
Oh, yeah. he wouldn't just summarily delete it just because he's annoyed by drinking coffee.
May I direct you to the Falky thread?
Yeah, that septic tank is still in business. No, he's not going to get rid of yours.
Yeah, you have no problems with that, Bruce.
You know, Nancy Burns, I believe, is in our chat room. Maybe she'd like to call in and explainify the situation.
Yeah,
sure. I don't think we need a rehashing of what went down that night. But
exactly.
Maybe more like an update of like where Bella where Haven stands.
If that's actually going to happen.
No, it's not. Okay.
Yeah.
I joined the show and then I went away and I came back and it was no more.
Yes. But I think it may have been the time of night. You know, it came on the same time as Hoagie comes on. And, of course, at least myself, I didn't expect Hoagie to be the great success that he is.
Are you a fan?
I am a fan.
Can you enlighten us on the Braps, genesis of it?
Yes, well, of course, you know, us Bellgabbers, we have a very easy sense of humor, and it doesn't take much to remind us or give us imaginary images of humorous things. So before Hoagie caught on and oiled his chair, it made this... Your imagination is working beautifully. And so that's where the sound Braps came from. And I wish he wouldn't have ruined it and oiled his chair. And maybe he'll come to that. You know, he is really getting to appreciate the humor, it seems like to me. So maybe one day he'll stop oiling his chair and we'll be able to hear the Braps sound again.
So it was all about the chair then. It had nothing to do with the arbitrary phone call that would ring at the top of the hour.
No, that is a completely different joke.
Can you explain that one?
Well, at first, I think Hoagie was a bit annoyed, but after a while, he changed his mind. Now, that may be Saucy Rossi, you know, talking to him behind the scenes and saying, you know, this is Bellgab, and these guys love to play, and it's not meant to be mean. You know, things that people call trolls are often, I don't believe in trolls. I think they're people playing, you know, and I think... Hoagie came to realize that the people that were calling in and ringing all his phones were playing with him, and he decided to play along. And it's great because afterwards he says, oh, that person is called in to order pizza. Well, that must be one of our friends from Bellgab. And what a great shout-out that is to Bellgab, really.
And that's really the best way to play off of things like that, too, is not get angry, but just to go with it, you know.
Throw them a bone and then let them have their fun for a minute, and then that's all stops. I can see how that works.
What Richard needs is a Braps soundboard. Like, we have the George Norrie soundboard, and he can just cue up that noisy chair anytime.
Did anyone get a soundbite of the Braps? Because I haven't heard that.
It's got to be on the early podcast.
Yeah, we could catch one. You know, we could catch one. We could record that with Audacity, I suppose, go back to an old one. And then he could just put it in artificially, or Saucy Rossi could, you know, just push that in there once in a while.
Well, it was my understanding that the first few episodes of that show were a technical disaster, and the podcasts that are up on the website to be downloaded have been heavily edited. Because of the issues that he was having technically.
I doubt he didn't go have someone go in and delete like every time his chair squeaked.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think that happened. But maybe, you know,
you just need one good.
Yeah, you just need one good one.
Okay, I got you.
You just need one good Braps. That's all you need.
I'm sure we can find one. I wish I had recorded it, the whole thing, on Audacity, because I think what happened with the first one or two shows is that people actually started to feel empathy for him, you know, because not just in a humorous way, but because he was such a sport and he didn't let it get him down. He didn't hang up the phone and say, you know, I'm going to leave early, guys. Tonight I'll be back tomorrow. I'm all shook up. He hung in there and he did it. And I think everybody admired him for it. And I wish the whole thing had been recorded so you could hear it, yeah. You know, the way it really was. Yeah, I think he gathered himself a little bit of respect for sticking it out the way he did.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think everybody was surprised.
I'll say this. I listened last night. I've listened a couple other times. I've been surprised at how entertaining Hoagland's been. But I will say this. He tends to just kind of sit back and let the guest go. He doesn't really, at least what I've heard, he doesn't really engage them in discussion.
He just lets them go. He's very polite. Even his intro music takes you back to the days, you know, of ladies and gentlemen going to the theater in the moonlight. and he's very polite. Unless someone disagrees with him, and then I sense him getting a little testy. But yeah.
I thought isn't the intro music to his show like some like from some like old science fiction film from the 50s or something?
It's strange. It starts out like, and then it goes la 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 la. You know, and it's just it's perfect. It's Hoagie. It suits him.
It does work really well.
I Shazammed it one day because I was interested, and it came up as being the Flying Saucer Story Part 2, Long John Nibble.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
All right, Greg, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, all right, thank you, guys. I had fun.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Carry on. Thanks, Greg. Yeah.
Long John Nibble would have been a predecessor to Art Bell.
Yes, so I'm sure that's heard.
So I've actually heard some of his shows.
Did he did the paranormal back in the 50s and 60s?
Yep. No, I think it was before that.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I bet you Roswell wasn't even that big of a deal back then, was it?
No.
I don't think Roswell was big at the time when it happened. It wasn't until a lot later. Till the 80s, wasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure exactly when that...
Not until like the late 70s, early 80s, yeah. When Stan Friedman wrote his book.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ponyboy Sunset was trying to call in earlier, but the line is open, PBS, if you want to call in now. It's 623-242-2278 or Skype call the.gabcast.
I forgot to ask Brig if there was an actual person who coined the phrase braps, because there must be a bell gabber who first... That sound a name.
For some reason, Popple comes into mind.
Who is the mastermind behind Braps?
Because they should be getting a what do you call it?
Copyright.
Or a cut every time someone mentions it on Bell Gab. MV should be sending a check for 2 cents, if not a little bit more.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I was summoned.
You were summoned.
Jackstar?
It's true. I heard my name.
I was trying to get Ponyboy Sunset to call in.
Well, that's an odd way to do it, by saying my name.
Well, now, wait a second. Who said your name? Was it somebody in the chat room, or was it somebody on the show?
Little Weasel B-Dub.
Weasel, I'll have you know, sir.
He's a very large weasel.
There's something about some sort of camp.
Go ahead.
Something about some sort of camp.
No, not ringing a bell.
You don't remember?
No. Was that this show or was it maybe last show?
Here's what happened. We were talking about White Crow's allegiance, and White Crow was apparently pro Jackstar.
Oh, okay.
That's what we were talking about. Was like, praise MV. And White Crow is praise Jackstar.
Listen, man, I am not a thing that one could be for or against. I am a star. So just like everybody else, but unlike the rest of you, I happen to know that.
Okay.
Yes, you certainly do.
So what is it about yourself that makes you believe that you are indeed a star? Now, do you mean that you're a gassy body that's in outer space somewhere that burns at millions of degrees? Or
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. So what is about you that that you believe gives you star qualities?
Everybody has it.
Please share. We're going to go into our
You're saying
NPR.
Everybody has it.
Yeah, everybody. It's not just me.
Okay.
Okay, it's ubiquitous and omnipresent.
Can you
guys weren't really ready to talk today, were you?
Can you elaborate?
We weren't prepared to talk to you, but
okay. Well,
I'm
next
trying.
Time you say my name.
I'm trying with you, Jack Star, but it's not difficult. It's not easy to get content out of you. You know, I'm giving you the opportunity.
We should make a virtue.
Say that again?
I wasn't aware that easiness was a quality we needed to make a virtue.
Oh, well, this is the Gabcast, sir.
Uh-huh. No.
Yeah.
I'm not easy. Like, how did easy become, like, this thing that was supposed to be admired? Like, here, for example, meet my wife. She's easy. That doesn't seem like a compliment.
Well, that's a different context. I think what we're saying is it was difficult to understand you because you were talking while Eddie was talking, and hence there was a collision.
You know, I apologize for that. It's a problem with Skype. It doesn't handle duplex terribly well, especially when three or four people are talking at once.
Yeah.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, hey, you know what? I went away and I came back and you were gone. What happened?
Oh, you missed it by that much.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Well, I just decided that it wasn't time for me to continue posting there, and then you came back. There was no absolute direct connection. It's not like I was tired of Jazz.
Okay.
No. Glad you're back. Did you, had a good time.
Did you do something that pissed MB off that made him kick you off? What happened?
I don't actually know. I haven't spoken with MB for a while. He's been busy.
He has been.
Yeah.
All right.
Making babies.
All right, Jack Star. We got PBS calling in, and
thanks. I like PBS. Have okay. a good time.
Nice
guys.
To speak right, to
man.
You.
Thanks, brother.
Later, bye. Man. Thanks for the
Hello.
Call.
You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Funny Boy Sunset.
Hey, what's up, dear?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing grand tonight. What's on
I'm
your
doing
mind?
Super.
Well, where do you want to start? Somebody told you the Richard Hoagland story. The Pallades guy. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, David Pallades.
Pallades. Pallades.
Okay. Are the rest of you not buying half of what he's telling you? Or is it just me?
I'm not buying any of it.
Oh, good.
I just enjoy the ride. I tend to look at most Art Bell shows and guests as a great piece of fiction. And if you can tell me a great story I like it. I enjoy it. Like, I watch, genre TV, X-Files, Walking Dead. I don't believe that any of that's real. So I take all the Art Bell shows that I listen to with the I go into it with the same point of view or the same headspace.
And if
if you tell a good story, look, I'm not buying
that's
anything.
That's not good. I think that's my Skype doing something crazy. Hang on. I'm going to try to fix this, but that's.
What's wrong? Are you not hearing
Did I
lose
us? You guys?
Are you still there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, that's not good. Hey, if you can hear me, I'll call you guys back.
All right.
What's going on with my Skype?
I mean, do you guys view most of it as just a good piece of fiction?
Most of it is fiction. Some of it is pseudoscience, and a lot of it is just outright bullshit.
Mm.
Like, I always thought, who was that guy that was talking about, like, if you have these certain sound frequencies, you can teleport yourself? David, what was his name?
Oh, just recently? Or in the last couple
Sarita?
Of weeks?
Sarita?
Yes, David Sarita, yeah. That one was out there. You know,
wow. Whoa.
He was playing sounds from the sun and the like high-pitched sound effects that are supposed to be able to transport you into another dimension and stuff. Yeah.
About half of the way into that show, I was like, oh my goodness, this guy might need to be hospitalized.
Yeah.
You know, it really depends on your perspective and your headspace as far as if you believe or if you can handle and not be over skeptical about, you know, any particular night or topic or subject that's on Midnight in the Desert. You know, when you come with the anticipation of it being just a, you know, a fiction, a story, a good, you know, a good 3 hours, take a ride and be entertained.
Entertainment. That's, yeah. That's the word.
Then it makes it much more pleasurable when you hear things that don't necessarily make a lot of sense.
Yes. Well, I personally don't tolerate shows like the Sarita Show very well, because why would I listen to a madman go on and on like that? It was, and I like a good story, but it needs to be grounded in reality for me to even be remotely interested. People telling me about like a UFO encounter, maybe, although. You know, when people talk about seeing a light in the sky, like, who cares? You know, I mean, really, it's that is the least impressive experience you could possibly bring up, because it's just a light in the sky. There's no, you know, maybe it moved around a little bit crazy, but at the end of the day, it's not that interesting.
It really could be anything, you know?
Yeah.
Chinese lantern or a flare or...
So, good stories like that are... Swamp ass. good stories like that are really hard to come by. I kind of enjoyed the Politest Show, but honestly, like I don't believe it, I don't think that Politest has a lot of credibility, frankly.
Okay, so we got Pony Boy Sunset back on, and I wanted to ask. B-Dub and PBS, what is it about that show or about his story that you don't find believable? Like I said, I didn't listen to the entire show. I listened to maybe the first hour, hour and a half. But what I heard didn't sound completely unreasonable or unbelievable. I mean, he wasn't really making any theories. He was just talking about people that were disappearing from the forest.
No, but, you know, he was going with a paranormal angle where it seemed like there were, like, way more plausible explanations. And I know coming from me, because I'm usually all about that kind of stuff. And the whole thing with, like, having to pay millions of dollars for a list of names, that's where I started to lose it. I'm like, really? Because I've heard this guy on other shows, and he didn't talk about that. And so it was way more believable. So that's where it lost it for me. I don't know about you, B-Dub.
Okay,
well, I've definitely heard him mention that before. The list and the pricing, or the fees he would have to pay. For me, it's the idea that there's this something in the forest, and it's colluding with the United States government somehow to suppress its existence. Just kind of crazy. There are much simpler explanations. How about what do you call it when husband and wife like bump each other off? And that's not a joke or anything. Maybe it is, but I don't know the punchline.
Well, when they,
I mean, like you have fratricide is where like a brother kills someone kills a sibling.
Oh,
paternicide is where you kill a parent.
I think it's just murder, dude.
It's called wifeicide.
I don't want to look it up on my. I don't want to look it up on my computer, because if anything happens to my wife and then the police come and search my computer, they're going to see that word. Yeah. I don't need that kind of trouble.
So that explains why you needed the lime and the shovels in your trunk there, Mr. Jasmundo.
I don't need a search saying what is it called when you kill your wife. In my search history.
So Ponyboy, in general, what do you think about Richard's show?
Oh, I like it. I will go with what the chat room was saying earlier about the wheels coming off in the beginning. See, I didn't subscribe the first few weeks, and I was asking around. And some of the people on Bellgab I'm friends with outside of, like on Facebook, and I messaged one of my friends. And I'm like, is this worth me paying $5 for? And she's like, oh, yeah, you got to do it. She's right. Oh,
for
my
the
God.
Train wreck, like, aspect of it.
Yes, for I talked to Raleigh about it too a few weeks ago on her show, and we were talking about it. She goes, oh yeah, she's like the radio that's really entertaining radio, because clearly the person does not know what they're doing. And I'm like, that was exactly right. And that's what killed it for me, like the stalker, that's what hooked me, because the stalker call is on YouTube. So I went to YouTube and plugged that in, and I'm like, oh my God, this is great. Not that I think anyone should be stalked, but if they're gonna have a stalker, don't you want them batshit crazy?
Well, what's the story behind the stalker?
That I don't know all of. Something about Richard lying about something or other, and he needs to come clean. And then the soccer was posted on Bellgab and then got booted out of the Richard C. Hoagland thread.
Well, they used to be colleagues, I believe, or they used to work together on some project or something, from what I understand.
It's Walter Cronkite's ghost.
It totally could be, because that guy sounds like he's that old.
And that guy was posting on Bellgab for a little while, and it got so insane and crazy that he got banned from Bellgab.
What was funny, they all got mad at him because he was typing in caps, and they're like, you're not Fort Rock. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what hooked me. And I didn't know about the chair. Like, I had to ask somebody about the chair, like all these brass things. But overall, like now, I really think he's gotten better. I don't know. I find myself just as entertained as when I listen to Art. It's just different. Like, he was talking to one of the guys who was ex-CIA or whatever, and they really got into it, and it was interesting. I like conspiracy. So whether or not it's true, again, like Art, it was entertaining.
Yeah. What I heard this morning, I actually kind of enjoyed. I mean, I'm actually surprised that it was as good as it was.
So Art really knows what he's doing. I mean, he knew Richard had this in him somewhere, and he gave him the chance, and Richard seems to be really growing into it. And there's a lot of people that are fans now. Now, let me ask you this, PBS. Did you have, like, a preconceived notion, like the rest of us did, that this show was going to be all about, you know, crazy conspiracies and the face on Mars and Richard just, you know, hyping his own theories?
I did, actually, and I thought, because he's hit or miss with me. Some of his stuff I really like, and some of it puts me to sleep. You know, it kind of depends on the day. So, I was pleasantly surprised. And I'm kind of sad that the train wreck part of it's over, because that part was really funny.
Yeah, that thread was going wild in the first couple weeks. And slowly everybody's turning over to be, you know, huge fans.
Well, I think they got, I mean, I'm a fan of Saucy Rossi's work. I mean, he was doing, you know, trailers and stuff like Jazz was. And, yeah, I just liked him. I thought it was a good fit. And so when I found out that happened, I was like, cool. And all of a sudden these people on the board are, like, getting jobs, you know?
I know.
I want a job.
Yeah, I know.
I may not have one, but
how do you not have a job after what you did?
I know. I want a Art Bell job. That sounded.
Dude, Art Bell's not going to let you anywhere near his show, man. Because he's going to wait. He's waiting for you to launch into a story about your bowel habits. It's not happening.
I would never do that in public.
It's been a long time since you've called the show, Jazz.
I know. Only will call if I have something to say. My work is done.
So what would be your perfect Art Bell job? What would you want to do? Promotion? Advertising?
No, I like listening. If there's a job where I can do it's just listening and not actually doing any work, which is kind of what I do every day at Art Bell. Anyway, so.
You don't really work.
As long as I get paid. And I don't have to do anything, then, yeah, that's the perfect job for me. Kind of like Folky, yeah. Sorry to bring it back to that.
You own a business that produces a profit, whereas he is just a maggot that leeches off the tax-paying citizens of this fine country.
I read someone posted a brilliant post that said there's some type of humor in that Folky is celebrating a day called Labor Day.
What's that?
I missed it.
Are you reading that thread, PB?
I haven't in forever, actually. You know, God. What's funny is I quit that thread. I'm kind of proud that I quit that thread. Like, I haven't gone back in there, which is really funny because I became friends with somebody outside of the forum. And I'm like, I haven't been back in there since. The two are unrelated, but I'm like, I was actually really hooked on the Bella Haven thread for a while. It was equally interesting in a completely different way.
Yeah.
I think the Falky thread is carcinogenic.
Yeah, no kidding, right? The cancer causes.
It's definitely all kinds of toxic.
I believe it turns your brain into mush.
It turns your brain into a box of rocks like me, Rocky Balboa.
Is he still posting? Like, is he really still posting? Because I like I said, I haven't
Falky
read anything.
Or Rocky Balboa? Yeah.
Well, it's Rocky on the forum, probably.
Go post, Rock. You're a champ. Post on the Bellgab.
Tell him what for.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Falky is still posting. And you know, it's the weirdest thing. It's just like he'll have some curt response to someone's snide remark, and then he'll call them a stupid name, and then he'll just rattle off like a list of everything he did that day. Just out of the most arcane detail, like picked up fingernails in the bathroom. Washed my washcloth, hung it up to dry, and turned the air conditioning down.
And everything's like video later.
Yeah.
And this is my thread, so I can talk about whatever I want. So you guys just shut the fuck up. It's none of your business.
Bell gabbers are assholes. Well, why do you do it on bell gab then, dumbass?
I never got that, but I have to, I'm sure you guys are reading the chat room, and this just was made me lose it. Falky Balboa thing. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Falky Balboa. Oh, Falky Balboa.
Hey, oh, man. I love this place.
Rocky was a champ. He doesn't deserve that kind of degradation.
You know, I got to tell you guys, and I meant to tell you guys this while I still had a girlfriend, but when I did have her, I was trying to explain to her one night the White Crow thing. Have you guys ever tried to explain to somebody outside of the forum some of the stuff that goes on inside of the forum?
There is no explaining anything about bell gab to your loved ones, to your friends, to strangers, without sounding like a complete nutter.
Yeah, she kind of looked at me like, I don't get it.
Yeah, because it's so deep and dense. And, I mean, you can't explain one thing without explaining something like three things before that to set that up. And then you have to explain four things before that to set that up. You know, it's impossible.
PBS, what would you say about White Crow? Like what?
Oh, I was explaining, though, why we do This Is White Crow. I don't remember. Somehow it was relevant at the time. I was trying to work it into conversation, and exactly what you just described happened. I had to explain so much to set it up that it was still funny to me, but it was not so funny to her. And she was drunk. So really, I mean, I don't even have an excuse, okay? Like, I even had a willing audience, I still couldn't make a joke work. I'm like now, never mind.
I did explain to someone Falky, and they pretty much were just like, wow.
But you're too thick, thin-skinned. It's a joke. Get over it.
This is White Crow.
Hey, Jazzy.
Nice.
This is White Crow.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, we should not be allowed to have this much fun and be recorded.
Oh, we're recording this?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Not.
I hope so. No, I am.
Big turd.
Nice. Well, gentlemen, I didn't mean to keep you. I kept trying to call, and my phone kept cutting out. And I haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Yeah, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
You guys have a good night.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Tell all the hot lesbian strippers we said hello. All right, now.
What a show. I feel like we need to wind it down.
Only on the Gabcast.
Wind it down, Rock.
Oh, time to say goodnight now. Oh, yeah.
If you guys would like to download this podcast or any of the other podcasts called Michael Van Dieven's Radio Trainwreck, Fret Files, or the NFL Football Fan Podcast, also old episodes of The Spec Sheet, go to ufoship.com. You can download everything there. We are looking for another host, somebody to sit in every once in a while. So if you think that you would like to join us one night, contact me, Eddie Dean, or contact B-Dub or Jazz Munda, and we can get you on.
But you got to join the union.
That's right. And you also, upon sending your application, you need to send a check for $49.95 and make that out to Tanko. And then we can look at your application. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening tonight. We appreciate it. Had a lot of fun. And we'll see you next week, everybody. Good night.
Good night.